You know, think of all the things that you're like, if someone found this out about me, I won't be dateable. And then you find that when you're with the right person that loves and accepts you, it all, they definitely stay. And not only that, they feel even closer to you because you revealed something. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. So what's holding you back from your best sex? Are you worried you'll be judged? Is emotional trauma rearing its ugly head? Or maybe you just want to have anal without hurting yourself. The truth is, we've all got a pleasure block or two. So on today's show, I'm taking your calls to move past them. When you're recovering from an epic ghosting, how do you move on with your confidence intact? Well, I offer tips for releasing the pain and setting intentions for a future partner. What about when you're nervous about neighbors hearing you have sex? How can you relax into your body? And finally, when your partner's looks haven't changed, but you're suddenly wondering whether you're attracted to them, is it really about their appearance? I'll be unpacking these and many more roadblocks to the pleasure you deserve. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you to do the same. Well, my intention is to help you put words to what's holding you back from fulfilling sex, to build self-awareness and even self-compassion. Once you know what your pleasure blocks are, you can take tangible steps to address and heal them for good. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, Penis Issues and Innovations with Dr. Cartman, is up at sexwithemily.com. Check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily or call my hotline 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And you know, totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. It's all good. Before we get into today's show, I got to tell you something very, very exciting. I wrote a book. That's right. I'm very excited about this book. And it's called Smart Sex. It's going to be released on June 13th. And I'm learning a whole lot about the book process right now. So I would love, if you're interested, which hopefully you are. First off, this book I was writing for about 2 years, and it was a whole process, and I was really excited to write a book. I thought, okay, I'm going to write a book, all the my top tips, my best advice from the last 20 years, and I started to do that. But then I realized that there's a different way of thinking about your sex life, and think of it like a sexually intelligent approach to becoming a fully present sexual person. The book is called Smart Sex, How to Boost Your Sex IQ and Own Your Pleasure. So this book teaches the pillars of sexual intelligence. It's going to help you get rid of shame. It's going to build a deeper understanding of your unique sexual desires, no one else's, and help you with the communication skills that you can talk about sex with absolutely anyone. And if I do say so myself, this is a revolutionary approach that's going to reframe your entire relationship to pleasure. So you can pre-order it now. I would love if you did that. You can also pre-order from indie bookstores if you want to support indie bookstores, which I highly recommend, like Roman's Bookstore. We can put that in the show notes. It helps so much when you pre-order. And I can't wait to see you all because I'm going on a book tour and hopefully I'll be in your town. And if you'd like me to come speak, you can just email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. Maybe I'll meet you in person. I really hope so because just so you know, I've never taken this on the road. I've never done live podcasts anywhere. I'm going to do that combined with a book tour. We're going to meet. I can't wait. It's going to be a great year. So thanks everyone for supporting Smart Sex. I appreciate all of you. I literally would not be able to write this book without you. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. So today's episode is all about hangups and pleasure blocks. And this is a particular one we get questions about a lot. We have on the line Megan in LA. So tell us more. Hi, Megan. What's going on?
So I just moved to LA about 3 weeks ago. I've been living in Washington, D.C. 2 years ago, I had like a really brief relationship with a guy that was just like very intense and then ended kind of badly, but really like impacted me. And that was like right before my senior year of college. And so my senior year, I like dated casually, but like not really. I was more focused on like hanging out with my friends. And then I moved to DC and only went on a handful of dates. Now I live here and I'm excited to meet people and date people. But I just feel like I have a little bit of like a block almost. Like I can't let go of like what happened in the past. And I'm like scared to get hurt again. I'm on like some dating apps and I'll like swipe and like people and like think that they're cute, but I can't get over like that fear, like engaging with them, you know?
Right. Like a fear of rejection.
Yeah.
From this past relationship. So how old are you now?
I'm 23.
23. Okay. And this happened to you a few years ago. What I love about your email though is like, and your question is it, so you're in a cycle right now, which I love that you noticed this. You're like, I'm stuck in this pattern from something that happened to me a few years ago and you're ready to move past it. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is knowing that, but also understanding that this is just a pattern now that you've kind of developed that you are somehow unworthy, right? Like we kind of develop this self-fulfilling prophecy to protect ourselves, right? So something bad happens and then we decide that we are bad and we want to protect ourselves. So you put up defense mechanisms, right? And then mm-hmm. that creates a cycle that we're not even like aware of. And so I think the first thing is kind of changing that narrative. So since then, you haven't really been able to put, was it a really bad thing? Do you want to tell me what happened?
Yeah. So I actually met this guy while I was living in DC as an intern. We just kind of like hit it off right away, went on a bunch of dates and basically dated while I was there the whole summer. And then I was leaving to go back to school and I went to college in Texas and he like wanted to continue dating like long distance. So I was like, that's great. And we would talk and do like FaceTime dates and just like try to like keep things like romantic. And then I invited him to come to like an event, like a formal event with me. And he was like so excited and I was so excited to introduce him to my friends and everything because they'd been on FaceTimes with me and just like seeing them. And then 3 or 4 days before I actually like had this like big event, I was like texting him just saying like, you know, I'm wearing such and such, what are you going to bring? We're going to go do this, blah, 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 blah. And he didn't answer, which I thought was kind of weird. And then he didn't answer for like 2 whole days. So then I like started to get nervous and I like started texting his friends that I knew and they weren't answering either. And so my like event passed and he didn't come. 2 days after he called me and said that he had taken this just like impromptu crazy boys trip to go to Oktoberfest and he didn't tell anyone. And so it was like the fact that he just like didn't come.
Right.
And then the fact that he also just like went out of the country and like didn't say anything.
Right.
And it was just like
right.
crazy. So it just like really broke my heart. And then I didn't really talk to him after that because
right. So it just takes one thing. Well, I'm sorry that happened. And that sounds like on so many levels, it was like great. And all of a sudden they ghost or they disappear. And then we start to create these narratives. So what we're talking about, what it feels like when we're afraid to go out there and start dating again, because we've had pain, we've had suffering, we've had loss. And I got to tell you, Megan, that you have to remember this is that what I would love you to do. So one of your exercises is thinking about that. Like, what do you think you could learn from it, this guy? Like, I don't even know how well you know him. First off, what I love is there's a saying that says, God's delays are not God's denials. It's an AA phrase. I'm not an AA, but I love it. And also, they also say, rejection is protection. And in some ways, there is a reason when things happen, like there's a lesson you can learn from it. I'm sure if we go back in time, there were things about him. Maybe there were signs. Maybe he wasn't the perfect guy. And so what I would love you to do right now is to, if you can do a practice where you're even writing it and you're changing the narrative and you're saying, what does it look like? What do I want right now? What are the positive statements? Because I feel like this feeling that like I'm rejected, I'm not good enough, I'm not going to put myself out there, it's really going to hurt, has become a lot louder than what you actually want, Megan, and what you're looking for in a partner. What it would feel like to be with somebody right now that you actually feel great about. What would they look like? What would you do together? What would feel good? And I would like journal it. I would visualize it. And then when you start putting yourself out there, like, because I think that's also a practice and just saying, hey, like, how's it going? Great to match with you. Just moved to LA. And then just wait on it. And then it's a practice of replacing the old negative experiences with more positive ones. And so I feel like it's visualizing yourself, acting confidently in situations. Like, and it works for me. Like before, if sometimes I'm having a rough day, right? Going on a date. I've had feelings where I'm like, oh, he probably won't like me, this or that. And I literally picture myself walking in the room, what's going to happen, what I'm going to say, and how it's going to feel. And when you start to engage all of your senses into an experience, our body, it's actually neurological. Like, do you ever hear this thing about athletes who prepare for an event and they actually picture the event before it happens? There have been studies that show their brainwave patterns, and it shows that they actually, your brain thinks it's actually happening. So what I'm saying is, if you can start to practice what you want, what this person's going to look like, what you're going to be doing, and you picture the more affirmed, positive Megan, and you live that, even if it's in your mind, that will start to replace it. Because rejection is just, it's an experience. It doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean all these things. So I would just say kind of rewriting your narrative and realizing that this is not a place where you have to be stuck, but you feel that you're stuck. If that's helpful.
Yeah.
Is that helpful? Yeah.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, because you're going to be fine. We all do that. We get insecure and you'll survive. Redefine the meaning of rejection, see what you learned from it, and move forward. Okay.
Thank you.
We can still keep, of course, I'm here for you. Welcome to LA. Put yourself out there. This just came in. Jacob in California. He's 24. You can email us feedback@sexwithemily.com. So I've been dating my girlfriend for 5 months now. I like her a lot. She makes me happy. We have a real good emotional connection, but the physical attraction is barely there. The reason is because she's heavy set. Now, she's always been, and I didn't date her for a long time because I cared about what other people thought. But once I sat down with my own thoughts, I decided my happiness outweighed what other people thought of me. But now I'm realizing that maybe it was just me all along that cared. I don't know what to do. I've never talked to her about this, as I'm afraid to hurt her feelings. I don't know how to deal with my feelings regarding this situation. All right, Jacob, you're 24 years old. And what I want to say about this, and this happens all throughout our lives, I would say that this probably has nothing to do with the way she looks, because you've been attracted to her for the first 5 months right now. This is what I've found. People often call in, they're like, oh, my partner gained weight, or this thing happened and I just can't deal with it. And this is the reason. And I think it often, a lot of times, has to do with ourselves and not so much the other person, because she hasn't changed at all. So what I'm saying is, sometimes we change in relation to somebody else. Because if you found her sexy, like you were physically with her and she hasn't changed, she didn't gain weight while you were together. Although sometimes, to circle back to that, so when our partner drastically gains weight or something changes, typically they're not happy, right? They're not walking around confident. Like if you're with somebody who loves their body and they are their size and they show up, I think that's when we're okay with it. But I never think it's about these physical things. So I would say to Jacob that you're still in your head about this. The first I was worried what other people think, and now it's what I think, and it's what I... So, I mean, I don't know what else to tell you to do about this, but to look at your own, you know, attraction to her, and like, how has the sex changed at all? Are you more in your head sexually? I mean, if you guys have been listening to the show, you realize that most of how we are cock-blocking ourselves is because we are worried about something in our head. We're worried we're not performing. We're worried about the way we look. We're worried what other people are going to think of us. I can't do this certain sex act because other people are going to judge me if they ever found out, right? I would do anal, or I would do these things, but oh God, if this person told someone, or I don't know. I just think that it's all head stuff, or I won't be able to orgasm. And now that I'm worried about orgasming because there's this expectation, first off, we're not very embodied at that moment, but we're also in our head. So Jacob, that's what I think. I think you got to look at your sexuality and your attraction and talk to her. Talk to her about your sex life, first off. Like, usually, again, it's not just because the way, if she hasn't changed, typically it's stuff in our head. I know in my 20s, I didn't realize that when the first blush of romance, let's say the honeymoon phase, which for me used to go a lot quicker than most, it would be about 6 months with somebody, and it switched. I thought that meant the relationship had to end, because I thought that the attraction to somebody should go on and on and on. I thought it should always maintain that level that it is at the beginning with new sex, right? I thought that if that changed, the relationship is damaged. I didn't know that it takes work and that you got to grow and you got to work on it and you got to talk about things. And that when the sex actually gets better and the relationship gets better is when you actually go into the stuff that you think you can't talk about. Our vulnerabilities, when you show who you really are to someone who can accept you for that. You know, think of all the things that you're like, if someone found this out about me, I won't be dateable. And then you find that when you're with the right person, that loves and accepts you, it all, they definitely stay. And not only that, they feel even closer to you because you revealed something. Miley, 22 in San Francisco. Hi, Miley. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hi, Emily.
Hi. How you doing? How can I
help?
Hi. Hi. Good.
I just had a couple questions about the drawbacks of anal. I was just wondering if there were any negative consequences of it, and if you had it too frequently, what you should look out for, anything you should keep an eye on when you're doing that sort of sex.
Great question, Miley. Great question, because yes, there's dangers to anal sex if you do it incorrectly. And that's why it gets such a bad rap for being so painful. And so if you just have no warm up and your partner just sticks it in, I assume, are you with a penis? A man? Are you talking about for you?
Yes.
Okay,
I
got
was.
It. Okay, so here's the thing is that it's all about these few things that are the most important. The most important are that you're relaxed, that you're breathing, Miley, that you're already turned on. Maybe you've already had a clitoral orgasm. Maybe he's already gone down on you. You know, you're already like making out, or maybe you're already even having sex, penetrative sex. And then you want to make sure that you are in a comfortable position, rolled over, and then you use a ton of lube. Like my best tips are like use a lot of lube. I recommend a silicone lube. He could also try with a finger first. Make sure that his hands are clean and nails are trimmed and all those things. But he could also just start teasing you on the outside. But what happens is a lot of times, like the anus is not self-lubricating, so it could be dry when you stick something in. So you just got to make sure that you do all the prep.
Thank you, Emily.
Good. I got you, of course. Thanks for calling, Miley. Appreciate you. You know, a lot of people have a really first time bad experience with anal. Like, I'm talking to a lot of women that I hear that are like, anal sex, my back door is shut. There is no space or time for it. I don't want to do it. I had a partner once who snuck it in, or we were drunk and it was like, oops, like, sorry, wrong hole, or there wasn't enough lube. And the thing about anal is to prepare for anal, it's like a process. You can't just like as I go from zero to anal. You're literally not ready. It's like getting in the car and driving before you warm it up, going to run a marathon when you haven't trained. That's the thing with anal. And that's why, you know, once you realize what you like and what you need, especially anally, not only sexually, it's a process. All right, we've got an email. This is from Renee, 34, in Australia. Hey, Dr. Emily, I am very self-conscious of the way I smell, and this has become a serious problem for my relationships, which are non-existent at the moment. I've had partners in the past, long-term and one night, but my fear of having bad breath prevents me from letting go during sex. So even though I've had some enjoyable experiences, I've never had an orgasm. As time goes by, I become more and more anxious about this. So now even the idea of kissing seems impossible. How can I relax and let go of ruminating thoughts about the way I smell or being judged or rejected? What can I do to make the event of sex even more enjoyable? I feel ashamed, but also wonder if there's a possibility for me to enjoy a fulfilling sex life. I already see a therapist and doctor to control the problem, but I'd appreciate sex-specific advice. Any help will be welcome. Thank you, Dr. Emily. Thank you so much for your email, Renee. I could hear your voice right now, how painful this has been for you to have these ruminating thoughts about your breath or about your hygiene. And I love that you're in therapy. And I'm wondering what kind of therapy practices you're doing. Hopefully they're a practice that's allowing you to recognize these thoughts, maybe go back to the moment and breathe and focus on sensations happening in the moment and being present so you don't let these thoughts take you away. I'm curious if you've had a chance to investigate where you think these thoughts have come from. You know, I'm wondering if you maybe heard something growing up. I mean, think about it. A lot of times we like maybe watching a show growing up and like the main character got dissed because they had bad breath. And then when you're a young kid and so impressionable, you're like, that'll never happen to me. Or maybe someone said something to you once and now you're worried of always having bad breath. I'm not sure what it is, Renee, but I hope that in your therapy, you're going a little bit deeper so you can learn to let go and do some positive affirmations, knowing that you are lovable and that your breath isn't what you think and your odor isn't what you think. So, you know, again, I love that you're in therapy. The other thing is, you said that you've never had an orgasm before because of this problem. And you probably know what I'm going to say here because you're listening to the show. But masturbation is so important. I don't think I'd ever have an orgasm with a partner if I had not masturbated on my own. So I highly recommend you going deep into a self-love masturbation practice where you're figuring out your body, you're masturbating, and you're taking deep breaths. You're moaning, you're exhaling. So you're really learning to let go and to breathe, because that's what's going to have to happen when you're with a partner, which just know that you will be, okay? You will be. And also having the confidence of knowing that you can orgasm will take all that pressure off of you when you are with a partner. And finally, okay, so there's a product that came across my desk that was sent to me, and I actually made them a new sponsor because I'm obsessed with them to address the bad breath challenge, and it's called Smart Mouth. Smart Mouth is a mouthwash, and what I love about it, it's become part of my ritual. I've had it for about a month because I've gone through one bottle, is it prevents bad breath 12 times longer than other brands, and I just love that it's a system that actually works. And they've said that it will eliminate your bad breath for 24 hours with 2 rinses a day. I actually just used it before I sat down to do the show because I had salmon for lunch. And it does, just like miraculously, like wipes it all away. It tastes delicious. And the whole user interface, or let's just say their technology, is really cool because, yeah, it looks like a mouthwash bottle, but it has these 2 spouts that come together and you pour it into the lid of the mouthwash and you swirl it around your mouth for 30 seconds. So again, it's become a ritual. Like I brush my teeth for 2 minutes using my electric toothbrush, and then I use Smart Mouth every day. And I feel like if you use this, it might give you some more confidence to say, like, I'm using a product that was actually created just for this situation. You can find Smart Mouth pretty much everywhere these days. Actually, it was a friend's house and he had it on the counter. I was like, I just heard about it. Does everyone know about this amazing product? Well, you could buy it at Amazon, and I would love to gift you a bottle. I know you're in Australia. I'm going to talk to the Smart Mouth people and see if they could send you a bottle of this to try it. Because what if this is what you needed? I mean, sounds like there's a lot of other things going on here, psychologically, emotionally, mentally, but I don't know. I'm loving Smart Mouth. So again, you can buy it at Amazon, but we're going to send you a bottle because we want to help you. I want to help you. So thank you so much, Renee, for your question, and keep me posted. Don't go anywhere. We'll be discussing more ways to work through your pleasure hangups and unlock a more fulfilling sex life. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. I can't talk about pleasure blocks without addressing body concerns we have about the size of our genitals or the size of our bodies in general. So I asked our Instagram community, we had a poll and we said, has size ever mattered when it comes to your sex life or with any body part? All right, here's some of the highlights. So from vulva owners, this is where they said, yes, absolutely. I felt not so feminine before my boob job, and now I feel so sexy. Another one said, I don't think we talk about enough how uncomfortable big penises can be for women. I've had both too big and too small. Couldn't feel it, got on top, and it constantly fell out. Partner was too well endowed and caused pain in a number of positions. And then someone else said, different sizes have pros and cons. Penis owner says, big boobs and big bum are my weakness. Someone else said, mine has been too large for her, or else she was too small for me. Then the nose, this is where vulva owner said, it doesn't matter. Big penises can be uncomfortable. Confidence is more important. A few of you said that confidence is more important. I can't agree more that so much of this is, I'm just asking because I want to know, you know, I love having the data from you guys and I love sharing it. So when you guys respond on Instagram or anywhere, send an email, it's just so helpful. You guys are representing what is true. There isn't a one size fits all answer to the does size matter question. So some other no's from vulva owner says, no, I'm plus size. My partner is very skinny. While I get self-conscious sometimes, we've been together for 3 years now. So another one said, not yet, and I'm 60 years old. And another one said, which I have to say, this is what I hear the most, what I preach to y'all is, honestly, it's all about how my partner moves, him knowing my body and our connection. Someone else said, it's all about the mental state that has to be in the right direction. And then from penis owners, they said, I think the feeling is more important. I don't think it's important as people think. Another one said, I've never had anyone comment on my penis positively or negatively. And then another one said, mine is 5 inches and I never had any complaints. The thing that's wrecked most of our pleasure in the bedroom, and I would call it a pleasure thief, that is our insecurities in the bedroom, worrying that our partner's, you know, going to judge us or we're not pleasing them. I hear from so many of you too who are like, no one's ever said anything, but I think I should fix this thing about myself because it's my own insecurity. So that's why I want you to check yourself. It's probably in your head. And remember this, being a great lover to somebody is about listening. It's about paying attention and it's about communicating. And it's less about how you show up physically. And I've been doing this for almost 20 years. And I can't tell you that what I hear more and more and more is just that, like, the person was confident, they were attracted to them. And it was never about like, oh, I'd be with this person forever if their penis was bigger or if their breasts were larger. I just don't think any of that's real. Self-confidence is an inside job. Let's work on that first. At the end of the day, it's about accepting ourselves, loving our bodies, having more confidence, and communicating with ourselves, honestly, and with our partners. Okay, so this is from Nicole20, and she wants to know, hey, Emily, love your podcast and your Instagram page. I'm writing this message to you because after my boyfriend cheated on me 2 years ago, I took a break from guys, and now I'm feeling self-conscious and weird about getting back out there again. I've gone out with a few, but I always end it because I don't want to get hurt again. I'm definitely scared of being intimate with someone after being cheated on. Any tips on how to face my fear? All right, Nicole, this question about how do I just get over this traumatic thing that happened to me? Learning that someone cheated on you is a traumatic event. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up today, this email, is because I hear from a lot of you who say, you know, my partner cheated on me, or we're still married and we no longer, you know, I've had everyone call me. I've had the partner call me who did the cheating and say, I don't know why my wife's still, or my partner's still mad. I don't want to say it's his wife, it's everyone. And then I hear the partner saying, who was cheated on, saying, well, it happened a few years ago, I should already be past it. No, remember that when you are suddenly pulled out of your reality and everything that you believed about one human to be true, that they were loyal and loving and you were the only one, you know, that they were with. I can just think of it, you know, trauma's thrown around a lot right now, but it is a traumatic event that can sort of change the neural pathways in your brain around the way you think about commitment and love. You know, my mom used to say to me the things, she'd be like, oh, Emily, timing heals all wounds. And I think some, maybe, like, time makes things hurt less. But trust, when someone breaks our trust, it's not something that just because time goes by, oh, well, now the trust is going to come back together. I'm going to grow these limbs back of trust. No, if it's still damaged, there needs to be repair. And typically in a relationship that takes therapy, that takes kind of working on it, sometimes there's different philosophies around this, but the partner shares everything that happened. And then you really break it down and break through it. And then you could eventually, you know, some couples emerge a lot stronger after an affair. But going back to Nicole for a minute, first off, I love where you're at in your life right now. And you realize that that has a trigger for you. You were really hurt. And so, and since it's having this effect on you, and it is true, you guys, I want to point this out too, that a lot of times what happens in our earliest relationships tends to be modeled throughout the rest of our relationship because that's where pattern gets set. So the first person you were in love with, something happens, that might be part of your now your new relationship DNA. So facing your fear, I mean, if this was really something that was challenging, I would say therapy would be great. Just, you know, remember you guys, a lot of our, if we have health care, a lot of our, you know, we can get sessions, like 10 sessions or something with any plan. But also just the fact that you know that you have this fear is important. I would also recommend, instead of replaying the situation, because a lot of us, what we do is we replay it over and over again. And it sounds like you've given this voice of the cheating and this guy who was awful to you a huge loud voice. But what if we took that and you spent some time actually thinking about, how do I want someone to make me feel in this relationship? What do I picture with this new partner? How are they going to support me? How are they going to hold me? What are we going to do together? What do we do for fun? How do they, you know, what are the traits that you're going to covet in a new partner? And what are the ones that you're not going to stand for? Perhaps, usually, if he's cheated on you, your past, maybe there was things about him that let you realize led to that. For example, he didn't prioritize you a lot in the relationship. He was always out with his friends. He said he was going to do one thing, but he did another. You didn't feel like you were priority to him. He forgot your birthday. I mean, I think it really helps to write down the stuff. I mean, one of my best journaling is done after a breakup because I have like my, all the things that went wrong and all the things I didn't like about them. And I remember doing this so long ago because my friend would be like, I'd be like, oh, I think I miss him. And she's like, what about the time that he, you know, God, what did he do? He like left you at the bar and took your keys and didn't call you. I'm like, oh yeah. And I would like write all the things down that you forget. And so I think when we remember that, it prevents the euphoric recall. That thing that we do when we put our exes on a pedestal and we forget, like, oh, but they were so great. No, they did all these things. So I think remembering what happened, remembering the things you didn't love about the ex that didn't really work, and the traits that you're going to covet and look for in a new partner. The other great thing about looking for love again, and this goes for wherever we're at, is that what is helpful is to really do these kind of writing down what you want in a partner. And sure, you could write down traits that you want. I don't care if you're, if they're superficial or super deep, whatever you're like, whatever traits you want, whatever you values you want. But it's also important to visualize. And so doing an exercise where you're thinking about like, what are we doing together? What's our perfect Saturday? What's it like when they meet, you know, my parents? Or how do we celebrate the holidays together? And actually picturing yourself in this person's presence going to help you recognize that person when they come into your life. I'm going to talk to Dan, 34, in Minnesota. Hi, Dan. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, Emily. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm not sure if this was a environment thing or maybe a in the moment thing. I've suddenly become super paranoid about people hearing me have sex.
Okay. Tell me.
A little background. I'm in a pretty quiet apartment complex with a bedroom that's kind of close to a pretty popular sidewalk.
Oh, okay.
Was never a problem with my ex-girlfriend and I, because I would always like do this like little prep work, turn the music on, shut the doors, the windows. But since I've had somebody else over, and it was kind of in the moment, we went straight to the bedroom thing, and it's like all I could think about, and she was a little bit louder than my ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
So I found myself like trying to like subtly like kiss her as she was like moaning to like muffle it and stuff. I was totally out of the moment. It was totally taken away from it. So I'm obviously like thinking too hard. Are there tips I could do? Should I go back to my prep work?
So you're talking about you're just like, it's hard to be in the moment during sex because you're worried that she's going to be really loud? Or are you saying like what to do to make it so my neighbors can't hear?
Both. Yeah, the other bit, because I don't mind the noise. When my ex and I, she had kind of a secluded house out in the country that was that was the perfect environment because there was nobody around.
Right.
You could do whatever, you know, but it's
I've
moved
since
then, and it's a little different environment.
So you're saying, I think you just prepare. I mean, listen, I think, yeah, maybe you close the windows and you play some music and you do the same kind of things.
Okay.
So I think, I mean, honestly, you could get like a sound machine. You know, they have those ones like on the ones that make like the white noise. I wonder if those help with outgoing sound. You could also put some, you know, some of the soundproofing stuff on your windows. I bet our listeners would know too, because I've been told that I make some noise during sex, and it's hard because I think it's so great to be vocal. Actually, the more vocal we are, that can also enhance your orgasm.
Yeah,
but are you saying like, should you tell, like, yeah, is your question like, do I let her know? You could just say, my neighbor, it's loud and I want to hear, are you going to see her again? Is this your new girlfriend?
I think we're going to see each other again. Yeah.
Yeah,
things,
I mean,
are just,
I would
kind
just
of starting out. So.
Got it. I would play some music and I would shut the windows and see if there's any like kind of soundproofing thing, you know. But I mean, you
music
could
is
tell her.
To go to. We're both big music fans. So.
Yeah, I would just play the music, and I think it's okay to tell her. Like, I loved that was so hot with the way you orgasmed and the sound you were making, and I just want to make sure that I can. It's just for me, so let's play me. You know, if you want, if you feel like you need to tell her. Or I would just set up the environment that way.
Okay.
I think it's music.
I think I'll try that instead of her just watching me like randomly close doors and turn the music. I'm sure she would figure it out. But yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'll try that.
Like, first off, I think it's really great when there's music and there's an environment set, like candles and the windows are closed. You know, like, because there's times that's happened to me too. I'm like, oh shit, the window's open. So I think we all want privacy. So I think just to do that. Sure. As a result, like, I don't think you even need to say anything, but I think that's just a really nice thing to do when someone comes over. It is like to play music, and I always like close the windows and I put the blinds down, and you know, like, sex is going to happen. So I don't want anyone looking in.
Right.
There's nothing worse than like looking up, like,
right.
You see, you know, so that's why I would just do that. And you know, it's a new relationship. If she says anything, you could just say, yeah, I don't want my neighbors looking in, whatever. That's totally normal. So I wouldn't be nervous about it. I would just proceed. Do what makes sense to you. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for the call. It's a great one. Thanks, Dan.
You bet.
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I like the question about noise. You know, a lot of us don't make enough noise during sex. I got to say that the more we vocalize, the more sound we make, the louder our orgasms are, that can actually also intensify your orgasm. And a lot of us hold back because we're afraid that we make a noise, it sounds weird, or the neighbors are going to hear us. But it's really hot. To be, I think, express yourself and be loud. And I know it's better for your orgasm too. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.